Well, Missouri is one of, I guess, 32 or so states that were granted a waiver on some of the provisions of No Child Left Behind. And I wonder, what are some of the important changes that we can expect to see nationally as a result of all of these states having waivers?
Well, first of all, I just fundamentally thought No Child Left Behind was broken, and it lots of problems, but it led to a dumbing down of standards. It led to a narrowing of the curriculum. It led to a teaching to the test. And none of those things, it was very prescriptive top-down from Washington. None of those things I thought were good for children or good for education or ultimately good for our country. And obviously, my preference would have been to have Congress fix it and fix it in a bipartisan way. But obviously, Congress is pretty broken these days. So thankfully, we had the ability to provide waivers, and we've seen the vast majority of the country step up, including Missouri. And what you're going to see is people looking at, I think, much more thoughtful indicators of success, looking at multiple factors, not just looking at one test score, but looking at reductions in dropout rates, looking at increases in graduation rates, looking at are more students going on to college and being successful in college. And I think so it's a big step in direction, in the right direction, and just appreciate Missouri's, you know, courage and leadership and thoughtfulness on this. And I really do think states are going to help lead the country where we need to go.
Right. If not the provisions that were laid out in the No Child Left Behind legislation, what do you see as the right kind of mechanisms to ensure that schools are doing what they're supposed to? There's a measurement of the outcomes, but in terms of ensuring that the right things are being done in those schools, what do you see in terms of making sure that's going on?
A couple things. And again, I always just refer to No Child Left Behind, however well-intentioned, as a blunt instrument. It's like a hammer, you know, used to kill a gnat. And so a couple things. First of all, under No Child Left Behind, there were no rewards for successful schools and successful districts. The only reward was you weren't labeled a failure. That didn't make sense to me. So for districts and for states to be identifying their high-performing schools, the rapidly improving schools, those schools in disadvantaged communities, be they, you know, rural or inner city urban, that are making great progress. How do we celebrate that progress? How do we give them more room to move? How do we learn from them? We think that that's really important. How do we more effectively support our teachers and principals in helping them become more effective? And then when we truly do have schools that are very low performing, where it's simply not acceptable, are we willing to challenge the status quo there? So this is, you know, a more nuanced, more comprehensive, yes, I think a little bit more complicated, but a much more realistic picture of both success and those in the middle and those that are truly struggling where we need to do something better.
And what about making sure that those students at the bottom are, in fact, getting a quality education? Because that was one of the main goals of No Child Left Behind, right?
Well, yes, those are the main goals. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. In fact, many of the schools that were labeled failures under No Child Left Behind actually got worse. So as you know, we've had a massive effort through the school improvement grant programs, $5 billion to turn around chronically underperforming schools. And 1,300 schools are being turned around. These were the lowest performing schools in the state. I've visited dozens of them, actually just leaving Topeka, Kansas, where I met with the fantastic principal and teachers from the school. It was one of the 6 worst high schools in the state that is showing just tremendous improvement in the past 2 years. And while all these schools have a long way to go, I think that's the way to challenge the status quo when educational outcomes, academic outcomes are unacceptable. I just appreciate the tremendous leadership and courage we're seeing from teachers and principals across the country in these school turnaround efforts.
Okay, you mentioned teachers. A lot of the public discussion about education these days focuses on the quality of teachers. How do you think we ought to be evaluating teacher performance in this country?
Well, I always say that you have to look at multiple measures. If anyone thinks that you can look at one indicator or one test score, I think that's absolutely crazy. But when you're looking at a set of indicators, student growth and gain, looking at peer evaluation, looking at principal evaluation, looking at leadership, some states through the waivers are actually starting to survey students, asking students themselves. And I think where you have a set of indicators, multiple indicators, you have many districts and unions that have worked together in really creative and thoughtful ways to come up with better evaluation systems.
And how much do you think that student performance should be an indicator of teacher effectiveness and be used in evaluating the teachers?
I think looking at growth and gain should be a piece of that, but only one piece. And again, we always talk about multiple measures.
And do you have a sense of how those measures should stack up in terms of which should be more important than others?
Again, that varies. We've seen just a huge amount of progress from many states around the country. There are lots of great examples out there. And so any one of those would be worth looking at. But I also think that it's important that people realize that I think all these systems are significant improvements over the past, but I promise you none of them are perfect. And my real hope collectively that as a country we're better today than we were, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, or better than we've been the past 50 years. And I also hope 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now we'll be much, much better than we are today, that folks will continue to innovate, continue to be creative. We have teachers who are setting up very thoughtful evaluation systems. There's an art teacher in Memphis, Tennessee, that was unhappy with what his state was doing, and he and his colleagues came up with a really thoughtful system that has been implemented throughout the city of Memphis and actually maybe taken statewide in Tennessee now. So this is, you know, real leadership, you know, everyone stepping up, great teacher leadership. I give the administration credit for really listening when there are great ideas out there.
Interesting. Are there any other specific cases like that that Missouri could learn from that you can think of off the top of your head?
I mean, there are many, many on our website, so I don't want to pick and choose. But there are you know, a couple dozen states that are doing really thoughtful work in this area. Some are further along than others. But I think it's really important that you have these, you know, hard and honest conversations, that you listen to everybody, to teachers, to principals, to parents, to students themselves, and you spend the time to really do this in a thoughtful manner.
Okay, I want to ask you, somewhat related to that idea of teachers, this teacher strike has been going on for a week now in Chicago, and I just wondered, from your vantage point, what do you see as the best way out of that situation?
Well, obviously, I'm from Chicago and have good friends on every side of that issue. I think the teachers are literally voting as we speak. And the union and management have come up with, I think, a very strong framework. The delegates are, again, literally voting right now, and I'm very hopeful that they've reached a good compromise, that union and management both agree are a step in the right direction that respects and values teachers and also helps encourage school reform. And I'm hopeful in the next hour or two that they'll be in a much better place.
And what would you say to parents who either, you know, are in Chicago, who have kids that have been out of school for a week, or for parents in a district like ours who might be concerned that, hey, what if this were to happen here?
Well, again, I think it's so important that everyone get this resolved as quickly as we can. And, you know, my sister has kids in the school system. My brother has kids in the school system. So this one is, you know, hitting my family personally. And it's sad, frankly, whenever you get to the situation. The honest truth is we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of districts who are coming together, who are working through these tough issues, union and management together in a very thoughtful way. Quite frankly, the media never covers those because there's not a lot of noise and controversy. And I wish the media would spend a lot more time covering those places that are showing real creativity, real innovation, breaking through together without the drama.
Right. Can I ask you one other?
There's a huge story there that hasn't been told.
And
so the media will find it in that story compelling enough to cover.
And what would the story be like if we were going to try to cover that?
We could refer you to any number of districts that have done some pretty radical things, union and management collaborating in what we call sort of tough-minded collaboration, not around the status quo, but around a vision reform, and move the districts forward together in some very, very creative ways.